Lecture given by His Holiness Bhaktivikas Swami, recorded on 11th December 1995 in Srivarahavan, South India. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Disappearance Day.
Om Jnana Chinigandhasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Today is celebrating the 59th anniversary of the almost 60th, 35th. He passed away in the night of December 31st, 1935, 1936. Disappearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. So many pastimes he exhibited in this world. Sometimes, because it was seen from the past, his pastimes, there may be a tendency to underestimate them. Just like Prabhupada, he crossed the sea, had heart attacks, struggled so much. But we read about him in the book or hear about it, and it's like we're separated from the reality of that experience. So, in some ways, it's like reading a novel. We know the ending, everything ended nicely in the end. We all lived happily ever afterwards. You see, the ending is a foolish novel, which is never true. No one ever lives happily ever afterwards, except in the spiritual world. We have such an idea in the material world. We lived happily ever afterwards. Big illusion. Anyway, reading a novel, if you know, that's why you read a novel, once you've read it, you can't read it again, because you already know what's going to happen, all the thrill is taken up. So if you know in a story that everything ends nicely, then all the difficulties that the person is undergoing in it, they seem to be less significant. But actually the fact is that even great liberated souls who come to this world, it's not that their struggles are not struggles. Certainly they are great struggles, certainly their feelings and emotions are completely real. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we read about how there were attempts on his life. It's not that he didn't feel that there's no attempt on him, he simply go on with life. No, definitely he felt that struggle. He stood against everything which was not 100% bona fide in the line of Lord Chaitanya. He struggled. It wasn't that it wasn't a struggle. We read about Prabhupada in 1965 or 6. He was living in that apartment, at that attic, with that crazy boy. And all of a sudden, unexpectedly, he was out on the street. He had to leave because he was in danger of his life. The boy was quite likely going to kill him. So there he was, a foreigner in a strange country, in the worst part of a very bad country, with no friends, no money, and just out on the street in the evening. And we look, oh, Prabhupada's wonderful pastimes. But that was the reality. That Prabhupada was there and no shelter except Krishna. And that he went through all these things. That's just one incident. So many incidents that he went through. So many things he went through. So, in hearing the pastimes of a great personality, I sometimes think when you're telling these stories, the devotees, that's a nice story. Actually, it's meant to really give us some inspiration. We have to act like this also. Of course, we can't imitate, we can't be Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That mood, just like preaching strongly. He was preaching so strongly. Lion Guru, that C.R. Das, Chittaranjan Das, called him Singha Guru, Lion Guru. So it's not such an easy thing. Just when you speak so strongly to someone, you don't know how they're going to react. They might just accept it, or they're going to flare up and abuse you, give you bad names, or go to the press and they might, among all their friends, give you a bad name, bad publicity. In our movement at the present time, they're very much concerned about good publicity. It's considered the height of any preaching endeavor if they could The people were favorable. They liked it. But many times we see that Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they preach in such a way that people didn't like them. They preach so strongly that people thought, just like I heard recently in America, there was this program on TV which they have lookalikes. They have people imitate someone else. They look like them and dress them. So they had Prabhupada on there, which is somewhat well known. So they had some Indian man was imitating Prabhupada. They had the devotees coming and bowing down, and that's supposed to be caricature. It's supposed to show him in a bad light. So they had Prabhupada sitting on the horse, this is an imitation. Scientists are all fools and rascals. This they picked up on, and all the different things that Prabhupada, that he was always speaking very strongly against scientists and fools. So they picked up on that. And actually it's a fact. If you see, Prabhupada was so many times speaking so strongly, and people, often they didn't like it. In that time in America, Prabhupada came, and the women's lib people were so strongly against him. And they came, and they challenged him directly. And they were in an angry mood, and Prabhupada didn't. It's all right. Don't worry. We don't really mean it. He just repeated the same things, and they left slamming the door. And it was terrible. They put very bad reports in the newspaper. But Prabhupada, he wanted to stick to his point. Even in 1969, he was saying, just after they'd supposedly gone to the moon, and America was in euphoria, just this is like the summit of American success. We've been building up for how long? 200 years? We've been building up for 200 years. We've led the world in technology and civilization and development. This is the summit. We've been to the moon. And Prabhupada said, you haven't gone to the moon. And even if you did, it's just child's play. What is the benefit? Just like putting a pin in the balloon. Even that reporter, he was a very liberal, open-minded man, but he just couldn't. But Swamiji, do you really mean to say that they never went to the moon?
Yes.
But it seems very difficult to understand because so many people probably just stopped his brain. He didn't care for the so-called good publicity. So same thing, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He stood against the whole current of the society. The whole current. Even in his early life, he enacted the pastime of becoming discouraged. He was preaching so strongly. People didn't, because there's all these bogus people imitating advanced devotees. And he was called to one assembly. He simply wanted to speak. 3 days he didn't speak, he didn't eat. They would bring him so much nice Mahaprasad, so-called Mahaprasad. He didn't even accept this as prasad, because the people who were offering it were not in proper consciousness. Simply, he would see in Bengal a big show of Krishna consciousness, big kirtan, big emotional show, big lectures about mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya Saraswati. He didn't accept that these were bona fide Vaishnavas, because it was all just a big show. So every day they're being a big 80%, you take a percent, 100%. And after 3 days they hadn't invited him to speak, he simply left without telling him.
And what? At a convention?
Yeah, that was the which Maharaj? The Maharaj of Kuch Bihar. Yeah, he invited somebody for a festival, Sankirtan and speaking festival. He didn't invite, because he was a young man at that time, no reputation. He wasn't head of any institution. He was Dhamala Prasad. Of course, he was known, that's why they invited him. He was the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, respected him. So, but they didn't invite him to speak. So, if he had spoken, he would have blessed him. And they didn't. So he simply walked to Mayapur, back to the shelter, the Gorky Shelter's Bhaji. Then he finished his Shatakoti Nam Japa Yogi. It's a billion names, 1,000 million times chanting the whole mantra. At the end of that, in his dream, all the Guru Parampara, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the Goswamis, they all told him, you just go and preach. Don't worry for these, just speak the truth, don't be afraid. we are with you. So he did. And some people were attracted. Many, of course, he had to go through many difficulties. He spoke very strongly. At the end of his life, he said that he made a kind of apology, not exactly apology. He said that there are many people I have given many difficulties to, and many people have misunderstood. And while speaking for their benefit, they've become upset. But anyway, I had to speak to this, and if anyone felt upset, please don't mind. So he was very strong, very direct, very powerful. And yes, his words, he was so strong and so direct and so pure, he had the potency to cut through the illusion, covering people's consciousness, reach through to the Krishna consciousness, to expose to themselves their incorrect position. He used to say that my father trained me as a proofreader, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very interested in printing books and publishing books. So he trained his young son. Of course, he had so many sons, but this son in particular he took under his wing, trained him, right? Even as a young boy, he would take him with him wherever he went. He often used to visit different holy places. He would always take him with him to visit holy people and unholy people posing as holy people. He would sometimes visit. He trained him from the very beginning. So he trained him in all aspects of machine, how the printing machine works. He knew everything. If the machine was broken, what the senses were told, he could repair it. He knew everything. About printing, typesetting, proofreading. So he used to say that my father trained me in proofreading, but I don't only proofread books. I proofread people. I proofread religions. I proofread the world. I find their fault and I correct it. In this relation, he also said that I was born in Calcutta Lagna, the symbol of the crab. So like a crab, I catch a hold of people and pinch them with a sharp tongue. So he told about that. So that I read in your book last night, it's an interesting realization you're saying. Okay, what is it you're saying, that an empowered sadhu has the potency to awaken Krishna consciousness in the hearts of others. So many people may go and speak the same message, but some have the potency to awaken others in Krishna consciousness. One person may say the same thing, one devotee may say the same thing, another may say the same thing, but one is potent. Therefore, he can awaken the Krishna consciousness in another, just like in the sex act, two men may do. One may have the potency to conceive a child, the other not, even though they're doing the same thing. Prabhupada, he's stressed that in his books, that a preacher, the members of the Krishna conscious movement, they should follow the regulated principles, chant 16 rounds without offenses. In this way, they will have the potency. So, of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he chanted, so he was trained up from the very birth, and he chanted so much. Anyway, he is directly from the spiritual world. So he has so much power, so much potency. Otherwise, to push back, practically his whole life was spent in pushing back the non-devotional ideas. In preaching, there are two things. Prem Pracharana Prashanda Dhamma. The preaching love of God and subduing the atheists. So the whole scene was so full of wrong ideas. Oh, so full of wrong ideas, what is Krishna consciousness? That to present the correct idea is extremely difficult in that situation. We find that in our own movement at the present time too. Like Prabhupada said that when he came back to India, he said, when I preach in the West, it's much easier. The people, they just accept what I say and they follow. But in India, they'll say, why this, why that, why not this, why not that? There are so many ideas. Now it's like that in the West also. Devotees and non-devotees have been exposed to so many different things. They'll say, well, why this? And you say, well, Prabhupada said, well, Prabhupada said so many things. And, well, Prabhupada said this, but someone else, Swami, said this, and what about this, and it's okay to do that. The same kind of mood is prevalent. So it's actually in many ways it's more difficult to preach. In other ways it's better, just like preaching in India, you have the advantage that people, they have some knowledge, some information. So the inclination of people has increased in the West to be preaching. But at the same time, they've got so many different ideas that the difficulty is added also. Now we find in Eastern Europe, and the people are fresh, and it's fresh preaching to people. And after some time, they will impart so many different things also. Many of the things are imparted through our own ISKCON channel. It's a channel. It's like a virus in the computer world. So I'm just saying the common message is there's a virus. You're setting the thing you want, but along with it is the disease. So many times you find even our own devotees, because they haven't been trained exactly in following Prabhupada exactly, or maybe they got that training, but there's so many other things available to them. They found some attraction to so many different representations of karma, jnana, yoga, or just plain atheism or mayavad under the cover of Krishna consciousness or semi-Krishna consciousness. They've picked up so many other things. Sahajiya, mayavad. So these things, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was fighting against it. To establish that this is the actual path of Lord Chaitanya is a very bold thing. And it, from the external point of view, it might appear to be a very arrogant thing, what he was saying, because there were so many Vaishnavas, followers of Lord Chaitanya, chanting the names of Krishna, wearing tilak, having their temples, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that, with a few exceptions, you're all wrong. You're not following Lord Chaitanya, you're all off the line. And so who is correct? I am correct. I'm teaching you what is actually the line. It was, people considered him to be not proper Vaishnava. Vaishnava is very humble. He doesn't criticize others. These ideas were good. He came into Vrindavan, but they're not even any roads at that time. They're just some dirt tracks. He came in a car. No one had ever come in a car to Vrindavan. Maybe some, I think even the Maharajas, they wouldn't come in a car, just to keep the Vrindavan. He came, sannyasi. In a car. And after that time, sannyasis, they weren't even going in bullock carts. And he came in a car. And the people of Babaji Sukhara said, no, I have come to teach you how to follow Lord Chaitanya. You don't know. And Babaji is living there all their lives in Vrindavan. People respect them, come to them, bow down before them, accept their advice. And you don't know how to follow Lord Chaitanya. This is the way to follow Lord Chaitanya. In a big car, with bodyguards, and dressed in Western clothes. This is following Lord Chaitanya. Yukta Vairagya, preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. So definitely the most revolutionary figure, giving sannyas, Brahmin initiation. How can you give Brahmin initiation? You're not a Brahmin yourself. It's not from Brahmin family. And your guru, he didn't give you Brahmin initiation. Then how are you giving? Not Brahmin family. Kayastha, Datta. It's respectable family, landlord. Mm-hmm. Not Brahma. So they were. Now it came to be accepted in the course of time. Because any something like Ramanuja, when he was preaching, they called it the new religion. Because it appeared, at that time, it appeared that he was just doing something completely new and different. But he, by the force of his personality and his purity and the fact that he actually was bona fide, he was sent by God to do this work. Therefore, he established that, yes, this is actually bona fide, like basis of Shastra. And in course of time, it came to be accepted, although there are those who even today don't accept it. But more or less, it's accepted. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's work is accepted. At that time in Bengal, Bengal and Orissa is considered Vaishnava guru can only be who comes in one of these parivars, the lines of family descendants. Now that idea is gone. We couldn't be preaching here in India. If it wasn't for his work. Even now, Westerners are accepted as devotees, brahmanas, sannyasis, gurus. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how many years established this? Otherwise, it couldn't have been accepted. He had to fight, literally. He wanted to kill him. He actually wanted to kill him for his vested interests. You can see what a hubbub he created.
who kill the sadhu? Even the other sadhu, even they may have their own self-interest, but to actually go as far as to kill someone, he was so upset by it. He said, no, this is the right path, you're on the wrong path. So, anyway, I'm saying this to you and all of things, and this is just saying your own meditations. Just peace to us after, I don't have. Yeah, just to show the one someone's every sheet with me. Sometimes I used to, I think the first time I told these all, we started in the morning in class in Calcutta, 6:30 in the morning, and we broke 7:15 for Guru Puja and greeted greeting. And I went right up till 12 o'clock midday, just with the Pushpanjali, telling everything. And sometimes breaking for bhajan. So there are a lot of things. It's going to be a great book. It's just a start. One man came, he wanted initiation from Saraswati Thakur. He had a beard. Alright. I didn't tell the story, just came to mind. So Saraswati Thakur said, yeah, you can take initiation, but you have to shave off your beard. To shave off my beard? So, can't I keep my beard? So, you have to decide. What is dear to you, your beard or Krishna? So he decided his beard is dear. We didn't take initiation. Another time, a man came, he was a school teacher, this man, he was respectable. Another time, another school teacher came to him and said that, we are deep in the well of material existence. Why don't you give us some easy method to come out? All these things, don't eat fish, don't drink tea. Please give us some easy method. Because we're so far. So Siddhant Saraswati said that you should come out of the well. Don't drag me into the well. You take what I say and you'll be saved. But if I have to compromise with you, then I'll also become fallen like you. Another time, he was collecting money in Calcutta for a theistic exhibition. Now at this time, there was a tremendous flood in Medinipur district in West Bengal. And the flood was followed by famine, cholera, so many things. So he'd collected a huge amount of money, he was going to do this theistic exhibition. But there arose a great protest. This money you've used, now you should spend it for the uplift of the poor people in Medinipur, who are suffering so much. And there's a lot of protest because, of course, Vivekananda had propagated this idea that service to man is service to God. So big people protested. Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi protested. Annie Besant was big people. And Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose also. They protested that you shouldn't use this money. Don't go ahead with your theistic exhibition. You collected a lot of money, now you should use it for flood famine relief. And Bose, of course, he wouldn't just protest verbally, but he would do something. So he organized a blockade around the Gauriya Math. He was a fighter. Yeah, he was a fighting. Out of prison at that time. So he organized a blockade. But Siddhant Saraswati, he went on with his work. He said the real famine in this world, this time he said, I don't know how I used to put it. There's no shortage in this world. The only shortage is shortage of Krishna consciousness. Harikatha. There's a famine of Harikatha. So if there's Harikatha and spread, then there'll be no other problem. So he went ahead with the exhibition and it was very popular. At this time, he said that we need a daily newspaper to present our message because he already had regular periodical magazines in English, two in Bengali, in Hindi, in Oriya and Assamese. He had six magazines going on regularly, of which only one of them is still going on, Paramarthi in Oriya. And different maths have their own magazines. But the original one which he started, the Paramarthi, that's the only one there. Yeah. The Gaudiya, that's also not mine. So anyway, at this time he said we need a regular English daily to present our views to the educated people. I had an English periodical, but it was philosophical. This is also to be philosophical, but to be related to topic of newspaper, to present the news and the Vaishnava Siddhanta. So at that time they started the daily. Was it? No, that was kind of, no. Then the harmonist came after that. No, then Bengali, Nadia Prakash, daily newspaper started. Daily newspaper. And then later the harmonist came, which was an English version of that. Well, the harmonist was that was carrying on from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sajjana Toshini magazine, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur turned it over to Vimala Prasad. Now, the person who came to ask, how could you have a daily newspaper about spiritual topics? There's Madan Mohan Malaviya, who was the founder of the Hindu University in Benares, and a very prominent figure, a very famous name even now in Indian history, not in Indian history. He was very favorable to it. He liked Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He said, we used to come and talk with him and bring his questions and his objections. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he used to sit with people for 2 hours and just speak to them. He'd tell them, one time a group of highly educated people, advocates, lawyers, they came to him. And he just told them, they had many objections. He said, just you do one thing, don't bring your objections. Just listen to me for 2 hours. She spoke for 2 hours and he said, no, do you have any objections? No. Whatever objections they had, they were satisfied with what he said. So Madan Mohan Malaviya came to him and asked, how can you have a daily newspaper about spiritual matters? Then Prabhupada told this story, it's well known. So even in Calcutta, there were more than 2 dozen newspapers at that time. So Calcutta is just a tiny city in a tiny country, in a tiny continent, in a tiny planet, in a tiny universe. There are millions and billions of universes, and all the millions and billions of universes are just like a cloud in the sky compared to the Vaikuntha planet. So why should we could print a newspaper every second, but there is lack of hearers. We have enough news. So this Madan Mohan Malaviya, he said that he was very satisfied, and he said, we need thousands of sannyasis, kind of distance or something. He agreed, because Madan Mohan Malaviya, he was a prominent figure in the Indian independence movement. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, this is the real independence movement. So that independent movement is not very important. You see how? It's just going against everybody. The whole of Indian society, with the exception of a few dalals, a few British chanchas, and people who cooperated with them, they all agreed. Everyone in the Indian society agreed. British, we should get them out. And he could have just said, yes, yes, go on with your movement, done it separately, but he deliberately said, not no, it's useless. The Indian independent movement, practically we've seen that even the older people, many of them are still agree. Prabhupada used to say also, India was much better than the British. Because if they'd have changed, that Prabhupada said that at the time of independence, they should have made Krishna consciousness the state religion. But they didn't do that. They brought all the rakshas, they continued at a more intense pitch, all the rakshasa principles that the British had introduced. And instead of the British administering and exploiting, the Indians administered and exploited. But the British, they had an idea to manage the country nicely and then take some share. They had some moral principles. The Indians, they don't care about managing the country at all. And they just want to loot it without any input at all. So in this way, anyway, that's a whole political question. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, no, it's independence. This is not inclusive. Real independence movement is to go back home, back to Delhi. So Madan Mohan Malaviya, even though he was a prominent figure in the Indian independence movement, he very much appreciated Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and said that we need thousands of sannyasis to go all over the country and reform the country. This is the real reform movement. So he appreciated that also. Now others like Netaji Subhash, he didn't like that. He respected him as a sadhu, but he thought that his preaching was detrimental to their movement, which it was. So anyway, one story about Mohan Malaviya. One time he came to Siddhanta Saraswati and he said, I have some very intricate philosophical questions. Because in those days a lot of people were very much educated and they knew Shastra and of course in Shastra, they knew Shastra to some extent. No one knows Shastra other than that, except those who came to devotees of Krishna. But there are many questions and there are many apparent contradictions in the Shastra. So there would be many complex philosophical questions, just like we see in the Krishna book. Even great sages, they are very learned in the Shastra. They were confused as to who is actually God. So they sent Bhrigu Muni to test Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva to find out who is actually supreme. So like this, there are many questions. And Madan Mohan Malaviya came and said, I have some very complex philosophical questions you please answer. So Bhagavad-gita Saraswati Thakur said, you please go and ask the Pujaris, they will answer your questions. Now, most of the members of the Gaurima, some of them were great personalities, highly educated, and even from the material point of view, were special people. As we think of Sridhar Maharaj, Siddhanti Maharaj, very educated, even Bon Maharaj is highly educated, although spiritually, that's another story. So some Sundaramanda Vidyavinod, very big scholar. So there were some very educated and cultured people, but most of the members were not very much educated. Just like nowadays in Bengal, in any Goyamat or in ISKCON, there are a handful of people who are actually very cultured and educated, some of them each other and very cultured and educated, and most of them remain some mostly monks. Right. What their standard of devotion is, that's another thing. I'm not saying anything against that. But most of them not so intelligent, not much educated. So, when Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur told that you go and see the Pujaris, the Pujaris means they're not so educated people, either spiritually or materially. They're engaged in sins. So Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur said, you go and see the Pujaris, he said. Pujari, the questions I have, I don't think anyone but you can answer. Even you or some answer. I don't think you can answer. Mr. Jansai Sotara said, you please go and see the Pujaris, you ask the questions from them. So he was submissive to Mr. Jansai Sotara, even though it could be taken as an insult. The head of the Hindu universe, Benares Hindu University, he's being sent to some educated, uneducated boys to be asked some questions about philosophy. So it would almost seem like an insult, but he was submissive enough to go. So he said to the Pujaris, I have some questions. He said, all right, but we're paying the deity's brass now. So you kindly help us, and then we'll discuss whatever is to be discussed. So he was cleaning the brass, big man, famous man all over India, big scholar, cleaning the brass. Then, finished cleaning the brass, without asking any questions, he came back to Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, Saraswati Thakur asked him, so, did you get the answer to your question? He said, yes. Just I was cleaning the brass, and as I was cleaning, all the answers to my questions came in my mind. So, Saraswati Thakur said, yes. Sevam mukhe hi jivado swayamevi spirati. Simply by intelligence, you can't understand you, then knowledge will be revealed to you. Because he was thinking, I'm a big scholar, I have to discuss these questions. No one else but Siddhanta Saraswati can understand my questions. Then when you clean the brass, Saraswati Thakur is in contact with the Super Soul. He arranged that all his questions would be answered. So like this, there are some wonderful leaders. Of course, any perfect soul, he automatically attains all the yoga siddhis. He knows everything. He knows in people's mind, so many different things. Well, there are so many stories like that one time. He was standing in the Nagman in Katak, which means it's a day. It must have been about 30 feet away from Krishna, the deity. And he told him, there's an ant crawling on Krishna's front, just disturbing Krishna, and moving. And who can see an ant in such a distance? Another time in the same temple, in the morning, he came before the Mangalarti and told the Pujari that you didn't put Krishna's mosquito net last night. Krishna couldn't sleep last night. How could he know? Before the temple was open, Pujari closed the temple at night, no one is there. So you forgot to put, did you forget to put your own mosquito net? No, you forgot to put Krishna's. Krishna was disturbed, he couldn't sleep last night. So like there's so many stories. One time in, he was going on the train, and he was in the first class, and the brahmacharis were traveling in the third class, first time in the third class. So this devotee told me all these stories. Most of them were from him. He was sitting in the train, and Sajar Kako came into the compartment. And then he said, Sri Sangha Kacha! He's just speaking Bengali. You're associating with women. So he looked, and there's no woman. And you're leaning against here. You're leaning against the seat. That means you're enjoying some comfort for the body. That's the same. Associating with women. And he said, Aram is haram. Aram means comfort. And haram means something abominable. So this is very, very strange. Another time, Jati Shekhar was doing, he was a young brahmacharya, a young boy at that time. So they used to arrange festivals in different towns and villages, and they would carry on the mat all so many big pots and cooking for Sunday. So his job was to put in the station, when the train came in the station, he was supposed to put all the cooking pots in. So the train came, put all the pots in, and then he hadn't finished and the train left because it wouldn't stop. So Siddhanta, then he had to tell us about the transmission of Thakur, he made such a... He should have hired some coolies, and then they would just put them all in the time, he thought it'd save money. But Sajra Thakur told him, penny wise, pound foolish. That's his master. That's all I'm saying. Another time at the station, Jati Shekhar arranged. He went ahead to arrange in the waiting room, place for him. He'd come, he'd make sure that everyone come, put some cloth on the seat, make a nice arrangement so they always could come and sit down at his feet while he was waiting for the train. So when he came to the station, he got into the waiting room, he looked, there's ladies waiting. He didn't see, he had arranged in the ladies' waiting room. He didn't like cheating methods for collecting money. He didn't like it at all. He didn't approve of that. No, how about he allowed? To some extent. You told him, you heard that when he said that some people are accusing our Guru Kripa Maharaj of stealing. You heard that? You were there when he said that? I heard it on the tape.
It was
in the lecture. So, but if someone steals something from someone else, and someone else comes to that person and steals it from him and gives it back to the owner, then that person who steals it from the thief is the most moral person. So he said, Prabhupada said, in the same way, everyone in this material world is stealing from Krishna. So if someone takes their money and gives it to Krishna, he is the most moral person. He was justifying Guru Kripa's stealing, which is pretty far out, to say the least. In public, in the class, he was just, the Bhagavan Sajra Thakur, he didn't like this at all. He said, he used to say, whatever. Comes, you see. He didn't like the spirit of competition, who can collect the most and be the biggest collector. Then he was very careful to keep the purity. One time he felt, he heard some devotees say, I collected so much, and I'm supporting a whole temple by my collection. So this mood was building up in Gauri Mata. No one should go out of this temple for 12 days. If you want to stay here and chant the honor, that's the only service for the next 12 days. So he went out one day collecting himself, only one person. just with this Uttariya, not to do. And two people gave him a very good institution, respected person. One day he went out, other days he didn't go home. He also stayed. And without any asking, so many things can rise, heal, die, so many things can return. Don't think you don't need to. Lakshmi, she is Madharani, she is maintaining this temple. Not you. Don't think you maintain it. She is satisfied with your Krishna consciousness, she will send some other things. Otherwise, nothing like that. And we see that practically, that even the same temples may be there, but if we don't have the preaching mood, then even they're going and collecting, they can hardly, they can just live. Remember, Jati Shekhar told me in those days they used to have Goya Mountain. Fantastic feasts on feast days. But nowadays, they don't have feast days. They don't have them. The Bhagavad Gita says, Thakur, he was asked, he was establishing so many temples. So, people used to ask him that you're just establishing a temple, but usually when people make a temple, they arrange some land to go with it, to maintain the deities in future. So why are you not doing that? What will happen in the future? He said, if the residents of the mat, if they go out and preach, then automatically Krishna will be satisfied, people will give donations and everything will run on this. And if they don't preach, there's no use to having the temple, so we'll close the temple. We might as well close the temple. There's no need for the temple unless they're preaching. He said, close the temple. Who would speak such a thing? No one speaks, we close it. He said that same thing, revolutionary. Better we tear down the temple, the marble from the temple, and sell it and print books. Who would say such a thing? No one would say, close the temple. Break down the temple and print books. We're saying that there's no life. There's no life of preaching. You don't need a temple. So like this, he was maybe the most revolutionary figure in the history of this Kali Yuga. Real revolution, not Karl Marx, Lenin, not that kind of real revolution. Revolution. Revolution means something's gone. You have to bring it round to the original point. And the whole of Indian culture has gone so far away from the original thing, you have to bring it round to the original point by his revolution. So tell me, I was thinking to do some writing this morning. Should I go on? I think if you tell me to go on, I can go on about myself. What I was talking about, this bogus collection. There was one, what was his name? Bodhayan Maharaj. So his whole thing was, he used to say, Bhagavad Saraswati used to lament many times. Pariyachulam shanyashi hoi gelo bilashi. From the syndicate, it's send a few tremors through our movement. I made them sannyasis, but they've all become bilashi, sense enjoyers. Pariyachulam shanyashi hoi gelo bilashi. He used to lament many times. He made 12 sannyasis. Of there, he said, they've become sense, in the name of sannyas, they've simply become sense enjoyers. So, this Bodhayan Maharaj, his whole thing was to collect, meet big, rich people and collect money from them. This was his whole pleasure in life. He didn't have any deep spiritual motivations. So one time, he went to visit the income tax collector in Cuttack, recently, and said, you please come with me to the collection for preaching. His idea was that if he went to the Marwari, so they're all cheating on their income tax, if they saw him coming with the Goya Mat Sanyasi, they'll all give a good donation out of the field. So he refused. He said, I can't come with it. I can't. It's not proper. So he said, well, at least let me use your car and to go back to the mat. He said, all right, let me come. In some pretext. So he went back to the mat in the car. He took a diversion through the bazaar and stopped at every Marwari shop with the income tax collector's car and told that the income tax collector has I just went to see him, and he told me, you should go and collect from all the Maharajas. I said, and I know everything they're doing, but you just take some, collect. So he collected a lot. So all many things, he came, cloth, grains, money. Then he came back to the Mat. That time Siddhanta Saraswati was staying at the Mat in Qatar. Then, from outside the gate, he called out three times, Jaya Vishnupad, Bhava Hamza, Parivraja Gaja, Ashtol, Tarasa, Sri Sriman, Sridhar, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Thakur, Goswami, Mahalan, Prabhupada, Jaya! Three times he called out. He thought that Saraswati Thakur was going to be really in bliss because he collected so much. But when he saw, immediately seeing Saraswati Thakur was suspicious. He said, how have you collected so much? How have you collected all these things? So, he was trying to avoid, but eventually he understood what was really the thing. Time to take it off. So, he asked, he just came back at the same time from Vidya collection. And he came, just from door to door, he came in his interior. He had collected some rice, vegetables. So he came and he brought to it. This is very nice. This collection is separate. This is, he said, Krishna is pleased by this. And Krishna is not pleased by your collection. Bring it back. So he wasn't against collection. But he'd like that you preach to people about Krishna consciousness and then be satisfied with your explanations, then on the basis of that, if they gave some donation, you should try to uplift the people, give them knowledge. They used to have every day that people, the brahmacharis and sannyasis would go out daily, collected. You go door to door. And then bring some pamphlets and something. Then people would ask them, why should we give money to you? And they would explain, and then there would be some discussion. So every day, at midday, after taking prasad, they would have ishta goshti. And sometimes Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would conduct it, otherwise he's sannyasi, or sometimes senior members of the household. There were some senior members also, Kunjada, householder, that Sundarananda, I ever said. And Nishikant Sanyal in Qatar, he was the leading spiritual figure in Qatar, even though he was a sanyasi. He was a householder, but very knowledgeable, and Saraswati Thakur liked him very much. He had a very good income as a professor at British College, but he used to give all his income every month to Saraswati Thakur. He would give him back just enough to survive. He was getting good income, but he was living just as a very simple person with all his money to go to the market. So they would conduct ishta goshti every day, and then the questions were, so people, they're going door to door, someone asks a question, they can't answer, they say, please wait till tomorrow and I'll come back to the room. So they're like this. This way they learn how to preach the people. They come giving questions, well, someone asked me this question. And what is the answer? And the question will be answered, and then go back the next day. This way, people were very satisfied. They're getting spiritual knowledge, and they'd like to give donations. So like this, he was collecting donations. But Prabhupada in that Vaisheshashtakam, he noted about Saraswati Thakur once, that sadhus, they go to the forest to avoid the company of low-class people and lechers. But you, say, speaking to Saraswati Thakur, said that you invite them to lectures and make them the president of your assembly, because you would bring British governors to preside over some function. So he was completely revolutionary. Such a person, if a Britisher came to someone's house or not, they wouldn't invite them, because then the whole place would be considered impure. And if by chance such a person came, then they would have to have a whole ceremony write the whole building inside and out with cow dung and water, had mantras chanted. Maybe it was a madhouse, they just abandoned it. They considered it so impure that the cow eater would come to them. The caste consciousness was so strong. He would invite them as the chief guest in the function. And you can imagine, he said, they were thinking that he was spoiling the whole culture. They accused Prabhupada and said that you're spoiling the Hindu religion by allowing these lectures to chant Hare Krishna, calling them Brahmins and making them sannyasis. So listen. This way he was fighting, revolutionary fighter. In South India, he said about South India, he said, I like preaching in South India very much. He said, I was going to spend 10 years more in this world, but he was fed up with the fighting with his own disciples, so he left there. He said, I'm moving over. But there are two things I wanted to do. I wanted to establish a temple of Radharani and Radhakund, is one thing. And the other thing he said, I wanted to preach in South India, because he concentrated mostly on Bengal and Orissa. So the people of South India are very nice, they have devotion, but they know Archan, but they don't know Kirtan. And they know Lakshmi Narayan, but they don't know Radha Krishna. So these two things he wanted to introduce in South India. Kirtan, of course they have Kirtan, but they don't, the stress on Kirtan, like in Bengal everyone knows the stress. It's stress on Kirtan rather than Archan. They take Archan and bombastic ceremonies to be the most important thing, ritualism. But Gaya Vaishnavism means Kirtan. So he wanted to introduce Kirtan culture and Radha Krishna. There are no Lakshmi Narayan or Anuragas, but Radha Krishna worship. He wanted to introduce that. Which is why I think in Bangalore they're making the main view of Krishna Balaram, which is following the Gopi, not Balaram. Not necessary to do. They can preach with Radha Krishna. You know, they don't know those things. They're doing Rathi Atra also with Krishna Balaram. There's one letter, so why are you introducing speculation? That's the option of Jagannath Siddhartha Dhanavu. Even what Prabhupada said, what to speak of what happens in such a topic. Many times devotees, they don't know, and they don't care to know. And it's good for public opinion. We're doing this because it's good for public opinion. And that's considered the be-all and end-all of preaching. And so, then you'll find that we're also eating hamburgers because it's good for people will accept us. What's the limit? What's the limit? There's no limit. I saw ISKCON World Review, they were giving a report how some children went in some, I don't know, parade, Save the Earth or Stop the Cruelties of the Whales or something, some parade. And it reported they were singing, Give Peace a Chance, and My Sweet Lord. It reported that they were singing, and that ISKCON is supposed to be Gurukul children. They sang, Give Peace a Chance, which is completely nonsense. This rascal John Lennon. Who's the names he's quoting? Timothy Leary, and Andy Warhol, and Allen Ginsberg. Yeah, that's why he's quoting all these names of these completely debauched and depraved people. They're all saying, give peace a chance. Neither of this one, that's it. They didn't say they were chanting Hare Krishna Muhammad. But it's good for public opinion. So, Bhagavan Sarsha Thakur, he was just the opposite. He said, we're not interested in satisfying the janata, the public. We're interested in satisfying Janardhan. He was very strong on that point. The public should be trained to be satisfied with what Krishna is satisfied with. Not that we should present Krishna, that here is Krishna, we're presenting it in such a way that you will be satisfied. You don't dress Krishna in a nice outfit and what puts some jeans and a t-shirt on. The people will like it. They'll think he's one of us. Now, where is the limit? I don't know. I saw someone sent me from America an advertisement for Durga Mahayagya conducted at Hare Krishna Temple, Washington. And people come, and they ask them a donation, they get a donation. For what? Agata means there was a handbill which was sent to a, it was not conducted by our devotees, some bogus Mayavadi thing. Yeah, they must have paid some money. They said Mahaprasad will be distributed. Mahaprasad is daily prasad, not Krishna prasad. One thing I was thinking when I saw that is that our devotees, they always used to criticize the Gauriya Matha out of it. But to this day, no Gauriya Matha has ever had a Durga given in the temple. So you were criticizing, but see, if you don't follow exactly what Prabhupada says, at least the Gauriya Matha, in India, there's some culture. We're in America, and we don't even have that. So if we don't follow exactly what Prabhupada says, what India heard that in Kali Yuga, 5,000 years, they come to this position of Hinduism, the Vedic culture. But still they have some culture, and Hinduism, it's all mixed up. But we don't have that background of culture. So if we don't follow Prabhupada, then very quickly we'll be finished. The next thing will be bingo in the temple. There's Catholic church, Christian churches, the way it's coming, they, why are they doing this Durga Mahayogi? Because there's no one. No, and they're not preaching, therefore the maintenance is not coming. Good temple, no good temple.
Washington.
So the same thing, Christian church, they can't maintain, they have a big temple, no one's coming. So they have bingo night. You have Durga Mahayogi, everything will be bingo. And they have Garba dancing, it is always in Garba. It's traditional Gujarati dance. Cheers. The way they're doing it is not true. They do it to, nowadays they do it to disco music. And Gauriya Matha also, we never had that disco music in the temple. No, I've heard it's done in some time of the month. Well then, during the Navaratri in Gujarat, it's a traditional dance which they do for the baby. The sticks, you must assume you can. It's a cultural thing for the pleasure of babies, which we don't
have.
Yeah, but nowadays it's all mixed up. Men and women do it together, and it's become, they have disco music. Still, you'll find in the villages I've seen, still they do it the traditional style, some people. But now in big cities like Baroda and Ahmedabad, they have famous musicians come, and you have to pay 100 rupees to go into, like, they build a little stadium to go in. It's like a high class, nowadays. And there's so many pregnancies after this. You can imagine, because they're all dressed up, and it's just a whole sex thing. So, it's become completely degraded. And then you can imagine in America how they're doing that. Next thing they'll be having a barbecue. Mm-hmm.
These
days, remembering our acharyas, it shouldn't be just telling stories, but the mood about the sansarsha kalpa, that mood of just Krishna, that's all, no nonsense, then you're going to be degraded. If that's what they were preaching. Why are they acharyas? Why are we glorifying? So many devotees came and went. So why are we celebrating? Why do we celebrate the appearance and visitations of our acharyas? Because they were not acharyas. They stuck to the point. They didn't deviate. And they powerfully propagated it. So we may not be so powerful, but at least we have to stick to the point. Otherwise, yes. It'll be just like it'll be an empty celebration. Worshipping with flowers only. There's no life. Prana chajasha. There's a life you can teach. Yeah, going back to America. We're going back to America. The position of most of our temples is very sad. Congregate, what I've heard, the congregate among people who are not living in the temples, the movements are spreading. They're boys.
No,
it's not very intelligent just to without just to walk into a dark room. But
devotees
are living outside, but actually they criticize this and this and that, but they would like to see, they want Krishna consciousness. And even though they may be watching TV and this and that, but it's lack of association, weakness, which you get from living in the miserable material world among miserable materialistic people. I think the general would be like, it's like Tapa Darshan, he's good at talking enthusiastically and bringing people, but then he can't hold them because they're very sad. He can't hold them because they're both passionate. They can get people to, they can infuse people, but they don't have that mode of goodness. They don't have the mode of goodness steadiness. Not such a mystery. How many people can adjust to living in India? No, I don't. That's what they're saying. I think the temples are struggling, but there's a lot of congregation among us. They'll be struggling also due to the. Yeah, that's right. By the congregation, I mean all kinds. And they want some association. Yeah. A lot of preaching to do on all different levels. Yeah, and naturally when you say it, you worship God too. America is the most important country, there's no doubt about it. Getting America together is real. You know, so many challenges facing the moment. Families, establishing what people can live in family life, you know, divorce, 3 times, 4 times, bringing up children, then the whole thing about ashram, education for the children, big challenges. And geographically, and just as one entity, America is the big. Unless we get America together, even the successes. He said that also about India. In the fourth canto, he said that. I say America the most important because it is definitely the cultural leader of the world. Absolutely, no, America leads the world. Everyone's following America. And this, yeah, it's like the karmic, sometimes the karmic influence favors Rome, sometimes Egypt, sometimes Greece, and now it's America. And people tend to have
good karma, good looking, good intelligence, especially intelligence is very important. More spiritually, they generally believe in God, which in many countries in Europe, we don't actually. England, France, Germany, Sweden, Denmark, a lot of the atmosphere is not pious at all. Austria. So America's got a lot more from a spiritual point of view. And still most of the leaders of our movement are Americans. Well, there are still quite a lot there, actually, if you put on marriages. There's quite a lot of... Well, they're preaching in different ways. Like Vidyananda Maharaj, he's taking up a particular line, which is important. He's developing that line. He's getting other his disciples and other devotees to get into the university system. And he's actually having some amazing successes. Like in conventions where they invite, and they only invite professors to speak, but he's been allowed to give addresses. You know, they have like these seminars and conferences and different things, Indology, science. So he's been invited twice to speak, and he just presents our philosophy, but in a very scholarly way. But he's been invited to, even before he's completed his PhD, he's allowed to speak on the basis of his achievements, translating the Bhagavatam. Just when professors meet him, they're so impressed because he speaks their language and he knows his stuff, and he's got. So he's doing very well, and there are other Sri Ramana Swami spending time there now. And Dhanavir, of course, he's always been based in America. Guru Gauri Maharaj has been preaching continuously. Rampad Swami is holding the fort there in New York. So then, Bhakti Raghu Maharaj went back to Canada. So there are quite a lot, apart from sannyasis, there's so many senior devotees, householders are still involved. But somehow or other, it's just not, you know, there's a lot of talent and a lot of potential, it's just not all gelling. And they're definitely, they've lost the movement as a whole in America, from what they consider, is somewhat off track with the, otherwise, how they're going to do it in the higher idea. They're into a lot of conferences talking about management and how to organize, but a lot of the basic things like, I know Sankirtan and distributing books. If we have those things, even if you're not sophisticated management, everything will go on. If you have those things plus sophisticated management, that's even better. But if you only have sophisticated management and you don't have the basics, it's all useless. But that, again, Vidyananda Maharaj, he's very much promoting book distribution. He's sitting in the car, he's preaching, and he has his disciples out distributing books and picking up. He's from Brahmin family. He's very much conscious of that.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's definitely been found out.
They even had a time for it called Suda Buddha. Well, of course, we're talking.
So how to reconcile?
Reconcile means
very contradictory. One side is taking all back.
Well, we're talking about two different things. We're talking about one thing is collection, and the other is preaching. Yeah. So he was concerned that people give a donation because they're actually satisfied with the preaching. And if by cheating method, then the devotee who's doing it also he gets the whole impression of a big collector and this and that. But Prabhupada, he didn't do that, he did it. He allowed all kinds of collection. Prabhupada told also that sometimes the devotees, they would go and say, I'm collecting a Guru Maharaj lives in the forest and he only eats tulsi leaves. Right. Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that in Katha Sutra, he said apparent contradictions in Shastra tells you something, he tells you something, something. It's all reconciled in the pleasure of the Lord, but to see if Krishna is satisfied. So someone who might tell, you don't collect like this, and someone who might tell, you don't dare to collect like this. But to see who's doing it, what is their motivation, how the Lord will be satisfied. Very interesting. Yeah, many times I've thought about preaching in America, but I thought not now. Because it's a big thing to get into. And I'm really, at this time in my life, I'm concentrating on two things. Which is, one thing that takes most of my time, which is writing. And the other thing is helping to develop preaching in India. Because I go around myself and bringing in to do that. But America, it's definitely, it's a whole universe to enter into. It needs, for that kind of preaching, going to devotees living outside, you need senior men, you can't send young. Oh, definitely. They wouldn't accept me because I don't know. I'm trying to say anything. No way. It's just like, I'm a Hindu and I know everything. We used to have that when we first came to India. So the Hindus, because they saw, you know, there's some young 20-year-old American trying to tell them something. And, you know, he's only been telling me for just 6 months. How's he going to tell me? I know these things on my own. Now that mood has changed in India. But you can appreciate, you know, the same thing. Someone was initiated in 1970. And you know, Pelican was born in 1970. And he's, you're not going to accept what he says. They'd see me now to do that. I think not this year, because this whole thing of preaching in this area and the Tatna Studies Institute, and maybe I'll spend more time. I guess I could go for a month. It's like, you know, once you go in there, like Abhimanyu going into Jack of Hill, it's really to get out. That would be effective, because I don't know hardly anyone in America. I know a few devotees like I've never been to America. And yeah, so somebody said, that would be better. Otherwise, you know what? From what I understand, it's like, unless you have something going on, you can go bankrupt in the first few days because it's so expensive and the temples, they don't make the sannyasis and travel around, the temples won't help. And many temples don't charge you to stay in. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I'm going for collection, but at the same time, I'm not going to just do that. I did that in Europe. Some places I went to places, I spent a lot of money going, and you know, no one gives you a pack. I did that in different places in Europe. And, you know, I just can't go on doing it. I won't go to those places again. I can't afford it.